Well, time for the conversation starter. Kia with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. Let's get into the footy issues that continue to swirl around. And on the back of the football programming last night, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about. Jordan Lewis is going to join us. 7:40, Tim Livingston, the Richmond General Manager of Footy Performance. They're up in the Gold Coast Hub, which was news to Damien Hardwick. He thought he was going to Brisbane last night.
Yeah.
And they've ended up in the Gold Coast.
The devil's always in the detail. Before we get there, though, our man Matt has said that a Bosman mid gumboot in a 10, which has a dual footbed, is on its way to you. He also says
that. I said a 12.
He says, well, this has got a dual footbed. I don't know what exactly that means, but he thinks a 10 will be fine for you. Oh, and the two pairs that he's already sent you, he says, can you give them to Melbourne players and they can wear them in the bath that they tend to drink?
Thank you. Nice work. Hey, just quickly, left-hand lane inbound Nepean Highway, Mentone. There's been a smash at the lower Dandenong intersection. So that's from Jono. Thanks for that. So maybe give that one a wide berth. And the Monash had some issues around Heatherton Road inbound as well this morning.
Can I ask you this question before we get started on any other footy stuff? Because I had this down for yesterday because I was listening to the commentary on Friday night and Bruce and BT and Duck were talking about Jake Stringer, and we just heard it during the news there, John Worsfold addressing that during Footy Classified last night. And I woke up the next morning to the headline, you know, fat shaming, that type of thing. Is it okay? Is it okay? I'm not saying that Jake Stringer's fat, but is it okay for commentary to drift into the conversation about somebody's physical shape if they are playing an elite sport?
I didn't hear it. I was working, but yes, I would think it is. Yes. Do you not agree or disagree? Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I've always thought that it's okay. I would have thought that anybody that puts themselves out to play an elite sport that's based on endurance and power and all that type of thing. And if you're playing in an elite competition, then one of the requirements of that would be to present yourself in a really physical, in physically great shape. So I always thought that it was an okay conversation. But then I have spoken to people since that time, my daughter being one of them, and she thought it was outrageous that they would be talking about that. So maybe like in a lot of other areas, you and I maybe need to move on with our thinking around these things. But I just think that if you are playing sport and you're playing at the high level, the highest level of any competition, then that would be one of the things that you'd be required to do. And if you had the all paid for hanging out over your buckle, you know, your shorts, then you'd be thinking, okay, well, this person isn't as fit as what they should be.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing to recognise is they're not mutually exclusive, though. Is that, I mean, you can still have players who can play the game at the level that is required and not necessarily be as ripped and as cut as we've seen Charlie Dixon in recent times. And there are some players that will never be like that, and I guess that's the concession that we need to make. So if Jake Stringer, I didn't notice it, to be honest, but if he is carrying a little bit of extra weight but performed in the manner that he did on the weekend, what's it matter?
No, well, it doesn't matter. But I don't see that as fat shaming. I just see that as having a discussion about somebody's condition. Can they be different things?
Well, the next question is, and this is a text message that comes straight up, I was appalled. Imagine if it was an AFLW player. What say you to that?
Well, that becomes a really sensitive topic and a really sensitive issue. And I think in some instances there are different levels of discussion between male athletes and female athletes.
But in that
if you say look at Serena Williams, you say, okay, Serena Williams is a big, strong female, but you'd never, would you say, okay, she's fat and overweight?
Never. No. I'd never say that. But if you wanted to throw the AFLW analogy up, but the girls aren't full-time professionals as well. That is something to be taken into account.
Yes. Yeah. No. That is all that is true. But I think that I don't know. It's just I don't even have the right answer to all this. But I would think that if I saw somebody out there and physical condition is one of the things that you look at in terms of somebody's preparation, and you thought, okay, well, they're overweight in AFL football, I would have thought up until that weekend, I would have thought, okay, that's a reasonable thing to say in commentary. to say that. That guy doesn't look as fit and as well conditioned as what he should be to be playing an elite sport.
No. I would have thought so as well. As part, it is one of a number of things that you take into account when you're making an assessment on a player's form. It's how you couch it. Like you're just going to come out and say, geez, he's fat.
No, they didn't say that.
I'm not suggesting that they did, but I'm saying that how you would couch it would have some impact on it as well.
Mm. Now, the back page lead in the Herald Sun this morning, and Susie has just stolen the paper this morning, and she's just reading it here herself. So, is Dees Aster, Schwartz Demons irrelevant? Ox has been very explosive with his commentary around where Melbourne's at right now. He says, among other things, he says that the players are gifted too many games and won't die for their jumper. Can you just break that down for me, please? What does that actually mean?
Well, that's a former great of the club who is feeling the pain of Melbourne's performances, and it's an indication of how emotional and emotive you get when a team is underperformed for a period of time. I don't necessarily agree with it. That's a different take on it. When I've watched Melbourne, it hasn't been something that's jumped out at me that they won't die for the jumper. In fact, their hardness and their willingness to have a crack, this is in my opinion, which is different to David's, isn't really at the heart of the issue. I think that's another conversation altogether. In fact, sometimes I look at them and think they'd much rather go and put their head in the hardest place in footy and get it knocked off rather than try and hit that hard kick that we've been talking about last night. So I understand the emotion around it. From Robbo's point of view as a journalist, then you go and you find someone that is going to give you the emotional headline. We've all done it. We've all said the things. But on this occasion, I'm trying to be a bit more... I'm looking at it from a holistic point of view, and it's over the journey there probably is some substance to what David's saying. When Melbourne were really poor, there were players that were just getting games for the sake of it, but I don't see that personally right now. I think there are broader issues at play from a Melbourne point of view.
There were a lot of conversations that were taking place last night on the programs. On Footy Classified, obviously Jordan Ngoi, what took place over the weekend was a topic of conversation. This is what Caro had to say about him being allowed to play in round 7 despite it not sitting comfortably with some people in the AFL community.
He will be allowed to play. It's a decision that doesn't sit comfortably with many in the AFL community, Craig. He won't be flying to Sydney with the team because he's still waiting for the results of the COVID test. He will fly to Perth where he will quarantine individually away from the players. So he won't be playing for the team this weekend, but potentially will against Geelong next week.
This is really interesting, this whole Jordan Ngoi discussion, okay? And it's serious discussion, we all know that. But I saw Tom Morris last night on Fox read out the understands the lodgement of a letter to Victoria Police from Jordan Ngoi's alleged victim in 2018 said that she did not want to press charges against him, and that was combined with Ngoi's written apology meant that the AFL, Collingwood and Ngoi felt the matter was resolved at that time until he was arrested on Saturday. That does need to be taken into consideration in all this, does it not? As to whether or not he should be playing right now or should not be playing right now.
Oh, it does, Tim. It's called a letter of no complaint. So the police look at it, they get that. Then the AFL would have had to have done conduct a pretty exhaustive investigation themselves at the time. They arrived at the conclusion that Jordan could continue to play. What we don't know, and this is until these things come to light, is what's changed since then. Why the alleged victim in this situation has changed. If she said she didn't want charges back then, and what's changed to now? So, as I said last night, I'm struggling with this because of the level of detail, and I'm in favour, I think, going forward, of embracing the situation that the NRL have done over the journey.
That no fault that you talked about yesterday.
Yep.
This wouldn't, in this instance, with this charge of indecent assault, this wouldn't result in Jordan Ngoi standing down now being stood down now anyway.
That's
a seriousness of a charge that carries a maximum jail term of 11 years, what they've introduced in the NRL.
Yeah, and as we understand it, this was 10 years maximum. Now, again, you're getting into a whole level of detail that doesn't for a second suggest that you shouldn't be mindful of the alleged victim in all of this, but just the detail for me is still to be sorted out. And he's not playing this weekend against the Hawthorn Footy Club on a Friday night, so the AFL can continue to, I would imagine, gather more information. But it would appear that he's going to play on, Tim, and that's where it's at.
Yep. Yeah, no, that exactly. Do you think this has derailed Collingwood's season? And I'm not just talking about the Dugowie one. I'm talking about, you know, the injury to Howe, and then the side bottom penalty, and then this, and the ongoing investigation into Heredia Lumumba's time at Collingwood. Do you think this is going to derail Collingwood's season?
I'm not prepared to say the whole season, no. I think that it's a really enormous challenge for them right now. But no, I'm not writing them off for the season. I think this season particularly, it's a 17-game season. It's a shorter situation. Side bottom will get back into this side. It would appear that Dugowie will continue to play. Howe's a big out, of course. But I'm not writing them off just yet. The interesting take for me, and I'd love to hear from Scott Pendlebury. Now, he doesn't do much media apart from his own podcast with Jay-Z Clark. And then we always hear what's been reported. I haven't heard him talk about Lumumba as the captain of that footy club who played with him. I'm really keen to hear him talk about that. I'd love to ask him about, you know, side bottom and how hard he goes on the players as the captain. And he's such a... it's like the triumvirate there, isn't it? It's Eddie, it's Bucks, and it's Pendles. I mean, they're the three constants that have been there and driven... Yeah, great success for that footy club. I want to know if he's disappointed, if he questions the players when, you know, various issues arise, how hard he drives it as a leader. He's the interesting one that I would love to talk to right now. And he might turn around and just say, no, our club's fine, we'll get through this, and that's great. But it's a conversation I'd love to have with him.
Yeah, I think at some point, though, he's going to probably make comment about that. Maybe the players have been told internally that, given that there's, you know, like this internal investigation going on, that they shouldn't say anything about this until such time as that's been released. Shane Crawford has said a very interesting thing overnight, and that is that players who are now going into hubs in New South Wales and Queensland, they may look around and they may say, wow, I'm talking about players from Victoria here right now. This is great. I would love to. Maybe I've misread this whole situation. Maybe what I should be doing is packing up my bags and wanting to play football in Queensland. They've got great weather up here during the winter, great facilities. You're off Broadway a little bit. You can sort of swing around maybe when they loosen the restrictions a bit on the players, and it's going to be a great lifestyle. Do you think that is a possibility that that's going to happen, that, you know, some players are going to think, hang on a minute, this wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to be doing, playing footy up here.
I think it is, but I think the greater attraction would be the success that they're starting to have, and looking at it and saying, well, yeah, the weather and all that's nice, but I can now look at Raoul, and I can look at Anderson, and I can look at Miller and Witts and King. That would be more attractive than the actual Queensland hub, I would think. It would be a factor, but if you could look at that and say how nice and warm it is in the last 2 years, but then ask yourself, do you want to go into a side that doesn't win a game for 18 weeks in a row? I don't think that's too attractive. So I think there's a combination of both things kicking in there. It's a great opportunity for AFL footy in Queensland and New South Wales. The exposure that they are going to get up there now is unprecedented, Tim, for our game. So whilst we are bemoaning the loss of it here in Victoria, we will come back to the game next year in droves, of course. But for up there, if they could capture a slice of the market up there. Potentially, and convert some viewers that hadn't been exposed to AFL footy. So that's one of the unintended benefits, perhaps, of what's going on at the moment.
And right now, that is going on too, because the ratings, the viewer audience in New South Wales for AFL football is up 16% for both Fox and Seven combined from last year, and Brisbane, it's up 38%. So what you're saying is actually ringing true right now. And obviously Brisbane are playing, you know, great football. They're an entertaining team to watch. So that is part of maybe capturing the imagination of the people up there in Brisbane. And the Broncos are going so badly too. So maybe there is some switching going on there from the NRL to the AFL because of that.
Just going back to Collingwood and whether you know, the derailing of the season, this is what Jonathan Brown... Now, he speaks from experience, three premierships, of course. This is what he had to say last night on the couch.
At the moment, Eddie's hurting the Collingwood Footy Club, okay? Because if you're going to win a premiership, and they're a genuine chance of winning, you don't want any choppy waters around. I've been involved in these campaigns, and it can quickly tip over. You need to keep them as smooth as possible, and administrators especially need to stay as much as they can out of the football side of things.
Which I thought was an interesting take. I did suggest to him at the time, though, that they never had a president who was doing a five-day-a-week radio show and talked on, you know, a football show and hosted footy on the weekends. And that's the ongoing challenge that we spoke about last night. And then there was also talk that maybe even in 2010 when they won the flag, in the lead-up to that flag, that Ed might have pulled right back. I can't recall back then. That was 10 years
ago. I can't recall that. It is... Can I ask you this question? I was asked this question about you yesterday. Do you feel, because you work alongside Eddie, that you have to temper your criticism of his views or of him in any way? Because I think it is difficult if you work with somebody as a colleague, for you to go too hard at them, given that they hold this other position. I think that is a sensitive issue for some people.
Well, yes, no, you're aware of it, but as I said, we've had this conversation for 15 years, Tim, and this is the thing I get to the end of it and going, well, it's a bit tiresome, and you can repeat your thoughts about it and whether he's compromised and the issues that he has combining both roles, but that's a conversation we've been having for 15 years, and I'm not in favour of it, having the two roles, and I've said that often, but he's not going anywhere, Eddie. He's not going anywhere as the president of the footy club. Do I think it puts pressure on his footy club from time to time? Undoubtedly. Have I brought it up with him, both privately and publicly? I have. Yep, for sure. And when you're sitting next to him, you can, as we heard yesterday with he and Darcy, Luke Darcy's in that position right now, you can bring it up, you can make your point, but you don't always get to the resolution with Ed, because he's a great performer, and they could have dedicated their whole show yesterday to it, Wisp, and I don't reckon they could have got to it.
They could. Is Eddie, is he our version of Putin? Or?
I'm not sure.
He's cleared the way over there in Russia so that he can stay in power until 2036, don't you? They changed the constitution.
I also know we're 5 minutes late for our break. Kia offers value you can trust. Australia's best 7-year warranty across the entire Kia range.